Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, beginning in verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. These are the days in which we live. It's been this way for 2,000 years now and counting. And as long as the Lord gives us another day, we'll have this same problem. These are the last days. Verse 2. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. In the past two sermons, I hope that you can recall, we went through these little things. These little things that are big things. Lovers of self. In a world that proclaims as loud as they possibly can that you've got to love yourself no matter what. And if you love yourself, there's nothing wrong with loving money because, after all, you can use that money because you love yourself. The love of money actually flows out of the love of self. See, these men that are described in this text of Scripture are not lovers of money for what they can do with the money for other people. I hope that's not news to you. They're lovers of money for what they can do for themselves. That love of money flows out of loving one's self. The next words that we come to in the verse, boastful. It seems as though this is the boast day. We boasted this morning. We boasted already this evening. And then, yet, this is not the boast that we want to be accused of. Those boasts are right. Brother Rodney took the good boast and left me the bad boast. Nevertheless, here it is, boastful. This boastful should not be news to us. It's used in the negative sense. And what it means is that these men brag. What are they bragging on? Look now, back at the beginning of this verse. For men will be lovers of self. Remember the point that we made? Everything is flowing out of that love of self. This quote from Dr. John MacArthur, I'll remind you of, that is the sewer pipe that all these other things flow out of. Another sewer pipe. These men, these people, boast of themselves. What they have done and what they can do. Make no mistake, brothers and sisters, this list is telling us of false teachers. Verse 6 makes that clear. For among them are those who enter into household and captivate weak women weighted down with sin, led on by various impulses. They captivate people. Why do they captivate people? Why do they love money? Why do they boast in themselves? Listen to it. These people boast of themselves because they are the most important person that they know. Who is the most important person that you know? Who is he? Anything other than Jesus Christ, and you haven't understood the preaching of God's word. Don't make much of any preacher. Don't make much of any teacher. I don't care who they are. I don't care how famous they are. And they are preachers that I follow, that I try to keep up with, because they are godly men. But at the end of the day, they are but men. I've been lucky enough in my life to actually talk with some of these men that we see sometimes just on screen. I've spoken with them. And then at the end of that, I remind myself, they're just like me. No different. Don't you ever allow any man that stands in the pulpit to become an idol. And all those godly men would tell you the same thing. They would say it with more conviction than me, because, after all, I'm not famous. Just about only you know my name. But for them, millions and millions of people follow their teaching, their ministries. And yet, they do not boast of themselves, in themselves. Look at some of the greatest Bible teachers that we have. I've already mentioned Dr. MacArthur. He is one of my favorites. The man teaches the Bible. I don't think that the man could not teach the Bible if he tried. And yet, when you listen to a sermon of his, and there are many others that you could substitute for him, it's just I have to pick one to give an example, right? And I choose him. He is never the center of his preaching. He's never the center of a story that he tells. Who's the center? Who deserves to be boasted about? Christ. And Christ alone. No, these men claim to be something great. Think of Simon in Acts chapter 8. The power of God, he was lost as a ball in tall grass. See, I see many men stand up in places like this and make all kind of claims and tell you how great they are and how much God has blessed them. And they lost as a ball in tall grass. You can tell that. You know, Paul gives us this list to help us identify false teachers. Do you know it's not hard? Oh, some things in this list are a little more difficult than other things. But for the most part, it's quite easy. Let me tell you what you need in order to identify these men. A Bible. Just a Bible. Read. Here it is. It's right here. Paul made no bones about it. He was quite blunt, quite explicit in his words. They'll be lovers of self, lovers of money. They will boast in and of themselves. You know, can you boast and not say anything? You might think that you can, but you cannot. The person who boasts in and of themselves has to open their mouth. They have to say something. They have to give you an indication that they are greater than you. Or a tactic used by many of them is to make everyone else lesser. If they make everyone else lesser, then they, by what's left, must be greater. In other words, if you put everyone else down, then you would be better, right? Haven't you seen people like that? But see, they have to do something. They have to put everyone else down. And what they're doing is they're boasting in themselves. That's slick. That's pretty slick. But it's not hard. See, you can see that they are lovers of self. And it'll be evident at some point that they are lovers of money. And by the very nature of what they do, what they say, they will be boastful. See, tell me, can you see lovers of self? Can you see someone that loves their self too much? Can you see that? Can you see lovers of money? Can you see if somebody loves money? Can you see that? You may say that you could see evidence of those things. Are you right? Are you sure that you're right? If someone has a bunch of money, can you say that they love money? Is that the way it works? See, what do you need to see in order to know that someone is a lover of self and a lover of money? When we speak of love, what do we equate that? How do we say that that takes place? What is the driving force of that in the human being? What do we call that little thing? That's not really the thing that beats in our chest, but we say it's the heart. It's matters of the heart. So what Paul says to us here is these people have a wrong heart. They love themselves. They love money. And then what's in the heart comes out the what? Boastful. Boastful. They brag. Or they put other people down so that they can, by contrast, brag on themselves. Look at what we have next here. This one is good. Arrogant. Can you see arrogant? You can see the evidence of arrogant, but you can't see arrogant. See, what we have here in arrogance is an attitude. This is the attitude of these people. They're better than you. And they're better than me. They're better than you. They're better than me. Let's look at it from this perspective, because this is the perspective that Paul was looking at it from. It would be like someone standing in the pulpit and thinking themselves, acting themselves in their mind that they were better than everyone that they were preaching to. Stupidest thing I ever heard. You disqualified yourself from preaching. You ought to sit down. And yet, that's what we have here. This attitude. See, they say these things of how great they are so many times, and when you start saying lie after lie after lie, what happens to your mind, to your heart, is you start believing those things. I must be something great. I must be better than others. Arrogant. False teachers love themselves. They love money. They are boastful. They are arrogant. And they revile. Just disagree with them on the least little thing. And they'll let you have it. They'll take their Holy Spirit machine gun, right, and just let you have it. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and others of you do not know what I'm talking about. Over anything, over nothing. I tell you what, call those men to what the Scriptures say. If you want to be reviled, they'll revile you then. Because the last thing that they're going to do is what this says. They're going to pretend to do what this says. They're going to be boastful about what they can do and how much favor God has given to them. And yet, they can't stand His word. They revile those who seek to be obedient to the word of God. This is the main number one reason why they revile. Just call them to what the Bible says. A false teacher hates what the Scripture says. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care what their words are. This is the attitude that they have. Because they're boastful and arrogant, and they love themselves. Notice there what comes next. Speaking of obedience and the reason for reviling, disobedient to parents. Now, of all these things, listen to this list again, okay? Lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Disobedient to parents. You think that's odd for that one to be in there? That's a little bit odd. That should captivate your attention. I hope that it does. Where do these things first make themselves evident in relationships of people? I mean, that's what we're talking about. You can't be treacherous. You can't be reckless. You can't be conceited. You can't be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's your relationship with God. That's the last. But all these things, revilers, boastful, arrogant, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, all these smack of our relationships one to another. Do you see the relationship that the false teacher has with people? With people. Don't miss it. That's what Paul is driving at. That's the reason I think that this disobedient to parents is thrown into this mix. It's very important. It drags us back to our primary relationship. It starts the ball rolling to show us where we are and who we are. Have you ever been disobedient to your parents? Were you disobedient to your parents? Just me? It's in your nature to be disobedient to your parents. You were born that way, to be disobedient to your parents. And out of that, you can see all the other relationships that take place with these men. Why are you obedient? Why were you ever obedient to your parents? Why were you? Because you feared the consequences? Is that the only reason that we obeyed our parents? Because we feared the consequences? What about love? I mean, could you just break your mother's heart? Could you cause your father shame? When you thought about what you were doing, did that not drive you to be obedient? Not these men. These men are driven by self, not by love. No, this disobedient to parents starts them off in their relationships that never get anything but worse. It's all downhill from there. Look at the next word there. You'll see. Ungrateful. The false teacher is ungrateful. I don't care what you do for a false teacher, they will be ungrateful. You know why? You know why they're ungrateful? Well, let's look at it like this. First, tell me what they deserve. In their mind, what do they deserve? Not your mind. In their mind, what does a false teacher deserve? Everything. If you give him less than everything, how is he to be grateful? You have given him less than what he deserves. Right? Let me tell you. Let me tell you what Brother Rodney deserves. Respect. Admiration. Why? Because this. That's in Brother Rodney? No. And if I can say those things about Brother Rodney, then you must know that I can certainly say those things about myself to a greater degree. No. An ungrateful person will always manifest that they are ungrateful to one degree or another. They'll make it clear. At some point, it will come out. It can't be hidden. Because they deserve everything. And you deserve absolutely nothing. Remember, they love themselves. Unholy. Unholy. The word here, unholy, means this. Try this on for size. You know that there are certain things that should not be done. And even lost people know that those things should not be done, right? Let's go down for just a second and let's remember, let's put ourselves in the place of lost people. This is a good exercise for you. They know that certain things should not be done, right? Lost people know that you shouldn't kill someone, right? They do, but they know that you shouldn't do those things, right? They know that you shouldn't kill your mother and your father, especially, right? Don't lost people know these things? And yet they do them, right? They know that you shouldn't take advantage of people that are in a state where they're easily taken advantage of. They know that, right? And yet, they still do it. These men do these things. All of these things. Unholy. And they have no regard for any standard of morality at all. None. They'll acknowledge that the things are wrong, and yet they'll do them. unholy. Why is it so easy for them to do that? Well, further down the sewer pipe, we see they're unloving. Who do you love? Who do you love? False teachers love themselves. We've already established it. Unloving means that they're not going to love anyone else. They love themselves more than everyone else, and they only love themselves. Unloving. Are you admiring this group of men yet? Irreconcilable. Listen to this one. No matter what, they're not interested in whatever it is that you have to say. They're not interested in making peace with you in any kind of way, fashion, shape, or form. Because, I mean, after all, they have decided what is right, and they're going to stick with that particular thing. They know better than you. Have you run up on people like that? There's just no peace. They just refuse to have peace. It's their way, or finish it. Irreconcilable. Look what we have here next. Malicious gossips. They live to talk about people. You know, we could back this up and go back to the arrogant, because this is not a stretch. This has to flow out of that. With arrogance comes this, malicious gossips, because they will attempt to cut other people down by any and every means necessary so that they are the tallest structure standing at the end of the day. Therefore, they are the beacon that you should look up to, because everybody else has been mowed down. Right? Without self-control. False teachers don't have self-control. When they get mad, they'll show you they're mad. Everybody knows that they're mad. Everybody knows that they're angry. These are without a doubt very, very, very sad people. Although they don't know. Look at the next word there. Brutal. Brutal. Mean. Just mean. Mean as a snake. Heard that saying before. You may tell you who's mean as a snake. The devil. You may tell you who these men here are offsprings of. The devil. It should not surprise you that they are mean as snakes, because their daddy is mean as a snake. Brutal. They're not stupid. Now, sin makes you stupid. But they're not stupid. Not yet, anyway. I'll prove it to you. Look at the next word there. See those three little words? Haters of good. Do you know what you got to know before you can hate something? You got to know what it is. You can't hate something you don't know. They have to know what good is in order to hate it. And then they hate it. Haters of good. Of everything that is good. Everything that is holy. Of obedience to God. They hate it. Is that good? Is faith good? Is it good that you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that good? They hate it. See, it's an all-inclusive thing. It's haters of good. It's to hate all good. And who is the source of all good? God. How do you know what good is and what good is not? How do you know? God's Word. Who decides what's good? God. You see, if God decides what's good and false teachers hate what is good, they have to hate God. It's mandatory at this point. It's going to come. We know it's going to come. Haters of good, haters of the right thing. Do you know, sometimes when you're in a situation and you know what the right thing is, right, and you wished you didn't have to do the right thing, but you know what the right thing is, you know it, don't you? Well, these men hate that. Whereas Christian, you would turn and you would go, that's the right thing, I've got to do that because that's the right thing. They hate that and they will not do that. We may be pressed and taxed and sometimes slip and fall and do the wrong thing. And then with much sadness and regret and repentance, we turn from the wrong thing and we turn to the right thing and we do the right thing because we love good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. They hate good. Treacherous. Treacherous. They're looking for an opportunity to betray somebody. Maybe even with a kiss. Traitors. Traitors. You know, every one of these points, every one of these things that the Apostle Paul gives us here, there's an opposite, an equal good that is attacked. If a person is treacherous, the opposite of that would be trustworthy. People that we can look at in our lives and we can trust that person. We know that no matter what, that person would just do the right thing. They may slip. They may fall. They may sin, as all of us do. But they would repent. They would turn back. And they would turn back to good. Can I trust you? Can I place confidence in you? Or are you a treacherous person? At the drop of a hat, to save yourself, would you betray me? Would you betray him? Would you betray each other? A couple of pieces of silver do it for you? Because that's what we're talking about. That's the attitude. That's what these men are. They can never have any relationship that is based on trust because they don't trust anyone. They are traitors by nature. Reckless. Reckless. I'll just do what I want. And whatever the consequences are, that'll be what the consequences are. That's reckless. You can't do people that way, false teacher. You can't run over people. You can't trample on people. It's wrong. Conceited. Blows straight out of that sewer pipe. If I am the most important person in the world, then why should I not be conceited? Conceited is to think yourself the most important person in the world instead of other people more important than yourselves. You know, Christian, sometimes you start sliding into this. You start sliding into this conceited mindset where you know the answer and nobody else does. These people live here. You slide in it, and then someone has to snatch you back to reality with the Word of God and confront you with a sin, possibly. These men live here. They never go anywhere else. They are conceited to the point that the world revolves around them. How about narcissistic? And all of this sewer pipe leads to this. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Comfort. Don't make me uncomfortable. Don't make me cold. Don't make me hot. Don't make me thirsty. I want what I want when I want it. These are men I have seen. I remember in, what was the name of the documentary? And you know I didn't plan on saying this because I can't remember it. American Gospel. Do you remember the lavish hotels that some of those men stayed in? Do you remember that? They were spending like $1 million a night, something like that. It was stupid. It was crazy. Never heard of anything like that. Don't quote me on the $1 million a night, but it was some astronomical amount of money. Like this private island had a hotel on it, and it was glass. They showed pictures on it, I think, in that documentary, if I'm not confusing it with something else. Pleasure. I mean, these men can't fly on an airplane with other people. Listen, I have flown on an airplane. Y'all ain't flown on an airplane, y'all. I have flown on an airplane, and I have had those cushy seats. And man, you can't do no better than that cushy seat. That's like a recliner. It's like in my living room having a recliner, and they taking me there. I just lay back. Feed me peanuts. That's not good enough. That's not enough pleasure. These men have to have their own personal jets. $1 million, I don't know how much those things cost. Millions and millions of dollars for a plane just to travel. Because pleasure is so important to them. How about you? How important is your comfort? Let me pick on my wife. And by example, you can apply this to yourself. But I'm going to pick on my wife for a second, just because I can. I'll have to pay for it later, but you trust that I will have to do that and not you. Let me tell you about in our house. If it's 71 degrees, she's hot. If it's 70, she's freezing. There's no half degree on the thermostat, boys and girls. How about you? See, that's funny. It's true. It's true. But how about you? Are we so absorbed with our comfort that we can't look at what's important and what's not important? What did we come to church tonight for? To be warm, to be cool, to be comfortable in a chair, to listen to a message from the Word of God that would comfort you, that you would be in all comfort? Is that what we come in for? Or did we come to worship the Most High God? Could you worship God in the cold? When we have the sunrise services, you remember, and I've come to several sunrise services. I actually came to sunrise service before I was even a member here. But it seems like to me, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like to me it's always cold. Is it always cold when we do that? Every single time it's cold. Well, you can't worship Jesus in the cold. Comfort is the driving factor here, right? Can't be too hot. Can't be too cool. Got to be just right. Goldilocks worship. Got to be Goldilocks worship. We got to get it just right. The chairs have got to be just right. They got to be lined up just right, right? Brother Chad, I'm not picking on Brother Chad. Brother Chad lines these chairs up, and he does a good job. But it seems like sometimes I see people, and they go, I don't like the chairs lined up. More room. My comfort. I can't kick myself around like I want to. Why do we come? What do we come into this building for? Listen, would you not be more comfortable in your home? Were you not comfortable before you came in this evening at your home? Is it not comfortable? We didn't come here. We don't come here to be comfortable. We come here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. See, these men are consumed with their comfort, with their pleasure. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here's the contrast. Who do you love? What's more important to you? Is your comfort more important to you, or is God more important to you? Are you a false teacher? This apex of the mountain here that we see in this verse, in verse 4, drives at our very heart. It's a wake-up call for us all. If false teachers are always guilty of these things, this is what they live for. They live for comfort. Then don't let us be a people that lives for comfort, for pleasure. Whether we eat or drink, let us do all to the glory of God. How do we live? See, I don't think that we should consider this momentary light affliction anything to consider when compared to what is to come. Who is to come? Jesus is coming. Jesus is either coming for me or I'm coming to Him. What's more important? Do we think heaven's not going to be worth it? Christ is not going to be worth it? Worth what? Anything. Everything. Let's say we don't have a building. Let's say we have to meet outside in a field. Could you worship Jesus? Or no, not really, because it would be too hot or too cold. And you don't have a comfy chair to sit in. Who's God to you? See it here. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They don't love God at all. They don't love God. You should feel very, very sorry for these pitiful people, even these false teachers. What a miserable existence. They're living for the here and now. Do you know what the here and now is going to do? It's going to burn up. All of it. All the creature comforts. Going to burn up. What are you living for? How are you living? These men choose to live for themselves, and they will have themselves as a reward. And when they get themselves, they will wish that they didn't have themselves anymore. You who are living for Christ Jesus will get Christ Jesus. And you will have Christ Jesus. And you will forevermore be satisfied in Christ Jesus. One of those is sadness. And the other is glorious. You can see and determine who is a false teacher. That's how Paul starts off. Verse 1. Look at it with me again. I'm going to make much of it now at this time. But realize this. You can realize this. You can know it. You can understand it. You can see it. You can see the evidences of the things that you cannot see. Attitudes are impossible to see, but you can see the evidence of the attitude. You can try people. You can talk to people. You can have conversations. I know that you want to do it this way, but since you want to do it this way, what do you think about this way? Is there a compromise with you? Are you irreconcilable? Do you brag? Are you boastful? Are you arrogant? Do you revile when someone calls you to the Word of God? Says you should do this because the Word of God says this. And grit your teeth and go on. Do you revile? Are you a false teacher? Are you a follower of Christ? Everyone is a teacher. Maybe not in this passage of Scripture that Paul is making clear to us false teachers, and he's singling them out. But what I submit to you is all of us teach something about God, and we teach each other. Whatever you think God is, who God is, and what God is, you teach other people those things. Because don't you claim to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you? And then if you're one of these things, and this is your pattern of life, then you're telling people that the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly like this. Because aren't you being conformed to the image of Christ? And if you're being conformed to an image of one of these things, aren't you saying that Christ is like one of these things? It's very important that we understand that we can identify false teachers. But it's even more important that we realize what's in us, what we're guilty of, in order to turn from it so that we don't become false teachers like Paul lists these men. Brothers and sisters, the love of God depends upon it. That's what Paul says. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at verse 5 right quick, and then we'll end. We started late because of Brother Ronnie. So we'll go a couple of seconds over. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. Do you know what Jesus came for? Let me tell you. to destroy the works of the devil. Do you know the works of the devil? What was the first work of the devil? Hint, it was sin. Sin, sin, sin. The devil, sin. The devil brought sin to humanity. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, which is sin. So they hold to a form of godliness. They claim that Jesus Christ is all in all. And they deny its power by their very lives, how they live. Because all of these things is the way that they live. That's what Paul's driving at. And he's going to drive us to the same thing. We have to understand that these men claim to be regenerated, reborn, new creations. And they live in the same old filth. Always, always, always claiming to be godly and yet denying the power of God. Does God change people? Does God change people? It's my testimony that He changed me. And if He didn't change you, if you're still the same, then you're still the same. These men are still the same. Jesus Christ changes things. And He changed me. And He changed you. And it was for the better. I used to hate God. Didn't know I hated God, but I hated good. So therefore I hated God. Now I love good because Jesus Christ changed me. He changed me to love God. Because He first loved me. Now I love Him. That should be your testimony. Brothers and sisters, we have a good God. He is the maker of good. He is good all the time. And all the time, He is good. Brother Rex, would you close us in a word of prayer?